doors are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Power Evangelism Ministries presents Piercing Darkness radio broadcast. I'd like to welcome you with its host, Apostle Ronald Solly. You're going to be blessed with an awesome prophetic message, awesome testimonies of signs, wonders, and miracles taking place in his crusades. And also, he's going to pray for your needs. So stay tuned right here on 89.9 FM WCNO as we go live in the studio with its host, Apostle Ronald Solly.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of the heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. It says in the Amplified Bible, Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 apostles themselves as they reclined at the table, and he reproached them of their unbelief, their lack of faith, and their hardness of heart, because they had refused to believe those who had seen him and looked at him attentively after he had risen from death. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes and dares to entrust in and relies on the gospel and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not dare to entrust in and rely on the gospel, and him whom it sets forth will be condemned. Now we're going to go back to verse 14. The spirit of unbelief is the most subtle, unusual visitor. These men had walked with Jesus, they had ate with him, they had witnessed the miraculous before he was crucified, and yet they did not believe when he rose from the dead. How did this spirit gain access? Today, in this healing school, you're going to learn key principles and deep things about healing. But we have to first of all deal with the hindrance. What is the hindrance to healing? Unbelief. The Lord doesn't take unbelief lightly. He does not like it. And he will not operate where there is unbelief. God will not operate where there is unbelief. If we allow unbelief to stay, we hinder ourselves from experiencing healing. We have to believe. God can heal all sickness. When even was come, they brought unto him those who were sick, and he healed them. He can heal all sickness, remove it. But unbelief is an insult to him. He reproved and reproached them of their unbelief, their lack of faith, and their hardness of heart, because they refused to believe those who had seen him and looked at him attentively after he had risen from death. Unbelief hardens the heart. Healing is emotion. Healing does not steal, it flows. Healing is a motion, it is not a steal. Remember that. Unbelief tries to interrupt the flow. The Lord can heal every day, can heal every hour, every moment, at any time. The spirit of unbelief hardens the heart. When the heart is hardened, it becomes stiff-necked. It activates the atmosphere of despising God's ways. It also activates insults against God, challenging Him and trying to dare Him prove Himself. He doesn't have to prove Himself. He created you. That's enough. You know, when the Lord went to His own hometown, He didn't do much because they didn't believe. We have to believe His word for Him to do what He wants to do. We have to believe the scripture. So our mind will sometimes question His methods. That becomes a hindrance. Three areas of healing that you need to really embrace: physical healing, which everybody pays attention to and wants; inner healing, which deals with your emotions, soul wounds. What makes the soul is the mind, emotions, and will. And also spiritual healing, which I'll talk about later. So after the Lord rebuked them, what does He do? He says, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news. It says in the King James, verse 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, verse 16, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Watch this. When we believe, we become witnesses. We can only become witnesses when what? Believe. If we don't believe, we are not witnesses. How can you be a witness of what you don't believe? You can't. So, developing your belief system, first of all, you have to understand that God doesn't think like we think. He thinks totally different. What is impossible with us is possible with God. All things are possible with them that believe. Now, doctors don't heal. Doctors treat, and they don't have a cure to anything. Only God can cure. Doctors treat. You have to remember that there's a lot of cases today, and even doctors will tell you, they keep on doing research. And one of the things that bothers them the most is that the medicine they give to people has side effects. So if they give you medication towards some area of your life, it creates another problem, which shows you that this is a spiritual problem that can only be addressed by the Lord. Because most of that medication you're taking, I'm being honest with you, has side effects, and sometimes they may not tell you. And nowadays, even on the commercials, because they don't want lawsuits, they even tell you things that side effects may be this. So you even hear it while they're talking about it, and because they're talking too fast, you don't even pay attention to it. It's big business. Pharmacy is big business in America. And we thank God for the menace, for allowing doctors to treat people, because there's a lot of people that don't even know anything that has to do with faith and they're able to get treatment from doctors. But when you become a believer, you have to realize that you praying over that medication, you could diffuse the side effects of it. Of course, sometimes God's going to, you know, when you're treating yourself, because I always tell people when they come to me, I have to pray for them. So what should I do about the medication? I say, go to your doctor and have your doctor check you again, and he's going to tell you what to do. And 99% of those people, they'll tell you, when I went to the doctor, he told them, you know what, I see a dynamic change on your life. You don't need this medication anymore. Somebody say amen. This is how I work, and this is how I operate. I teach you that you receive healing by faith, and you keep it by what? Faith. Because God is the healer. So we receive healing by faith, and we keep it by what? Faith. I'm not saying that you should not take medication. No, I did not say that. What I said, that it has side what? Effects. That's why you have to pray over it. And number two, if you're on medication, you have to understand that it's a treatment, it's not a cure. You're going to deal with the problem in the spirit. That's why the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He never said anything else can heal you. We sing the song, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord your healer. The word of God brings healing. When we meditate on the word, healing takes place. The word of God is medicine. The word of God is medication. It will heal you once you meditate on it. You know, some sicknesses are caused, as you're going to realize today in this class, by wounds in your soul. Offense. If you hold on to the offense, it could turn into a cancer. If you hold on to offense, it could turn into diabetes. If you hold on to an offense, it could turn into other things that I cannot talk about. Now, do you realize that all sicknesses have names? God does not give sickness names. Where do these names come from? Have you asked yourself a question? Because the enemy is behind the sickness and disease industry. The Bible said the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and have a what? In abundance. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a lot of people that are sick because the enemy has done some kind of conspiracy and mystery and demonic activity to introduce the sickness. I'm going to show you something which is very powerful here. When I prayed for the woman that had cancer, when the doctors, when she went to, I knew the death was in her belly. I saw it. And went deep in the glory, in the spiritual realm to talk to God. While I was interceding for her in the service, God told me to tell her to press her belly. So when she pressed her belly, that spirit left. And when she was home, the cancer began to come out. She took a piece of whatever had come out of her, and the fibroid tumor, when she took it there, they tested it, they said it was cancer, dangerous. They admitted it right away. The moment they said it was cancer, she began to say, I don't have cancer. She was not in denial, no, because she remembered I had prayed for her and rebuked it. So she began to confess what she believed. All right, doctors, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. They did stuff to her, tests, did all kind of stuff. And every time I would pray with her on the phone and encourage her, we stood by what God said, not what the doctor said. You see how healing flows? You meditate on the word, and you believe what the word of God says, and you act on what the word of God says, even though the doctors are giving you a different report. Whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of what? Of the Lord. Because now you begin to release your faith to what God's word says, and then you stop feeding what the enemy is saying. Because how would somebody with 85% of cancer in their body get free from that cancer, no radiation? How does it shift from 85% to zero? 85% is dangerous. It's very what? Dangerous. When they did the test and test and test, they couldn't find it. Supernaturally, it was all wiped out of a system. Because the Lord took it out. When you get a diagnosis and they say you got this, once you accept it, That's when it begins to enforce itself. You say, what must I do? No. You have to speak what God's word says. Now, I'm not saying you're living in denial. No, you know. The doctor's report says you have diabetes. What does the scripture say? You don't have diabetes. So what should you do here? Act on the scripture and expect the scripture to change your medical report. Are we together here? Since you don't write the report, the doctor writes it, and God wants to prove to the doctor that he's the healer, he will change it in front of the doctor's face. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why a woman that the doctor said could not get pregnant because she could die, became pregnant, gave birth, and she's alive. You said, really? Yes. That's why that woman that came with HIV, after prayer, all the virus left, and when she went back for the test, they could not find the virus. And they can't explain it, because this is going to blow their minds. So I'm going to show you something about the scripture here. The reason why I gave you those examples is because when the demon dispatches, everybody here says, Lord, I need more of you. Reveal yourself to me. And I'll lay your hand down. When the spirits of infirmity, because God calls you the spirit of what? Infirmity. That's a curse. Infirmity is a curse. The curse of infirmity, which governs disease and sickness, brings different kind of sicknesses. But infirmity is a stronghold. So we have to come against infirmity. Once infirmity is been broken, the curse, then the healing power of God begins to flow. When God heals the physical body, he's demonstrating his power. But the real problem is in the spiritual realm. The real problem is what? In the spiritual realm. That's why the physical healing is not only the healing I'm talking about today. Talk about beyond the physical. Nahum 1:9. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. Who is the author of affliction? Satan. God's healing power will shut affliction down. If you allow depression to continue operating in your life, it's going to begin to affect some areas. If you allow those spirits of affliction, depression, suppression, torment to carry on their duty without standing on the scripture to shut them down, they begin to introduce other things in you. Now, we're supposed to be wise. You have to have balance. You can be eating cheeseburger every day. Breakfast cheeseburger, lunch cheeseburger, dinner cheeseburger. You need to eat some salad. You need to have a balance. Someone say amen. It's important for you to create a balance and know that I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat that, so I can have a balance. You got to eat. Okay, you do some research on what you're eating. It helps you to really take care of your body, because your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. But we have to understand that some of the sicknesses that people are dealing with today are caused not only by not eating right, but some of them are caused by inheritance, the diseases or infirmities, infirmity being the stronghold, but sicknesses that come through the bloodline. you have to go to the root cause and deal with that in the spiritual realm to break the curse that is in the bloodline that is giving it a right to come. So when we deal with the spiritual warfare in the workshop, I'll talk about the bloodline curses and how they operate. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2. Please, ushers, make sure everybody gets a copy of this when they come in, if they don't have one. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Instantly his leprosy was cured and cleansed. Who brings the cure? Jesus. Why did he cure him? Now this man says, if thou art willing. He worshiped, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you're able to cleanse me by curing me. And he reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed by being cured. And instantly the leprosy was cured and cleansed. You see, it happened what? Instantly. Was that the will of God for this man to be cured? Yes. Is it the will of God for you to be cured? Yes. So those who don't believe in healing have a problem, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He that did it 2,000 years ago can do it now and can do it tomorrow. Can I hear an amen to that? Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Two key things that he did here. He cast out devils, and after casting out devils, he healed those that were sick. Infirmity has to be cast out. You walk into a hospital, don't just give them a get well cared. You need to deal with the spirit of infirmity. Be a blessing to the person you went to see in the hospital by casting the devil out of them. If they manifest, that's fine. Hallelujah. Sometimes they might manifest, sometimes the demons are going to live quietly, because sometimes the demons don't want to be, you know, the angels will restrain them. So it depends. Sometimes the angels might restrain them. We've been in situations where there was activity that erupted in a hospital, but I mean, you know, we were able to keep things in control, because the nurses might get scared, you know, and think probably, you know, something is going on here. But I mean, weird things happen in a hospital, but you have to remember that God, once he wants to do what he wants to, he'll do it anytime. Jesus cast out what? Devils. We should not be afraid to cast out devils, because they won't go unless you cast them out. I'm waiting for the next workshop. I'll talk about that too. You have to go to the root cause. Now, if it's a curse in the bloodline that's causing the sickness, when the healing takes place, please write this one down. When the healing takes place, the sickness could come back again unless the curse is broken, legal ground. I'll talk about that in the next workshop, and I'll show you why. Sometimes people get healed and they don't keep their healing. I'll explain to you why people sometimes they don't keep their healing is because they don't deal with the curse. One time I had a blister from playing basketball, and I kept on trying to treat it, was not going, so I booked an appointment to go see a doctor, and the Lord showed me a vision what the doctor was going to tell me. Imagine you're going to see a doctor and you already know what the doctor is going to tell you. Because I booked an appointment to go see the doctor. And God took me in the spirit and told me, this is what the doctor is going to tell you. He was teaching me. He is the one that brings the cure. And the exact thing the Lord told me is what the doctor told me. He said, don't worry about it. It's something little. How many of you know the Lord really has a sense of humor? So I wasted $150. You know, we're human. Somebody say amen. Sometimes human want to go there and see what the doctor is saying, you know. So I'm not just teaching you what I read. I'm teaching you what I've also experienced. God works in mysterious ways. He wants to heal everyone. This man in Matthew 8, verse 2 and 3, asked him if you're willing. God says, yes, I'm willing. Right there, boom, he healed him. God wants to heal. He doesn't want to see his people sick. He wants you to be healthy. He doesn't want the diseases that were on the Egyptians to come on you. He wants to heal you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. In so much the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, and the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. God heals for his glory, number one. Number two, when we come to him in a sign of surrender, in an act of surrender, that's when we activate the healing power. They cast them at his feet. It's a sign of worship. Not just giving up, but saying, Lord, you're the only one we have. Nowhere to go. Nowhere what? To go. Only you. We bring this to you. Nowhere to go. John chapter 8 verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The Lord wants to set you free from your infirmity, migraine headaches, diabetes, high blood pressure, all kind of stuff that is in your body. He wants it to go. God wants you to live all the days of your life, not just 20%, but 100%. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all the things are possible to him that believe. And Jesus said, you said to me, if you can do anything, why all things can be possible to him who believes. Everybody say, all things are possible if I believe. All sickness can be cured if I believe. Cancer can go, diabetes can go, HIV can go if I believe. So believe is based on revelation of the Son of God. People that don't believe the word of God, God won't heal them. Now sometimes God will heal people because of the faith of the preacher, the minister. Sometimes the Lord will just show up and do and use your things, because the believer, the minister is believing and is demonstrating the power, and the atmosphere is charged with God's presence, and miracles begin to happen. But we have to believe to keep it.
Tuned into Piercing Darkness Show, and I want to thank you all for tuning in right here on this wonderful station. We give God praise for the message that God has been equipping us with through the teaching that I did in one of our conferences, and I give God glory because the name of the Lord has been glorified through this ministry, touching millions of people around the world for the glory of God. And you see, the Bible said that the gospel shall be preached as a witness, and in the end shall come. So as we preach the gospel and lift up Jesus, we're experiencing magnificent levels of breakthroughs, because there is no limit to what God can do. There's no limit how far you can go in God. When you worship Him genuinely, when you put your trust in Him and seek His face, for prayer, you can call 561-337-9018. That's the prayer you call for prayer. And I want to share some powerful scriptures that God has laid in my heart to teach and equip you today, so you can go closer to God. The Lord wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to increase you. God wants to draw you closer to Him. As you trust Him, He's going to prosper you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you trust Him, He will deliver you. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "My people deserve for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I'll also forget your children." This is a powerful, powerful word as we take time to study this scripture on what it means to remember the Lord and what it means to maintain affection and a relationship with the Lord. You see, with the current generation and culture today, the mindset of the people in this world we live in today, God has been put on the side. And when you look at your dollar bill, the founders of this nation understood how important money is, and to set that reminder in God we trust. Now, you know very well, clearly, that God is not meant to lie. And if you look at that, and see what it says, in God we trust on the dollar bill with a capital G. That's why this nation has become the wealthiest nation in the world, even up to today, that all the evil that the leaders have done, that God is still going to bless America because of the founders of this nation, and it also that the believers that are still in this nation trusting in God and putting God in this realm where you trust Him. It's not Baal, it's not wickedness in the high place, but God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God we trust. So why is it important for this generation to know how to pray and to put God first? Number one, if a nation that is dedicated to God, devoted to God, turns itself away from God and turns to wickedness, that nation will fall apart. And that's why it's important that today, even as I share the scripture, to awaken those that are believers in Christ to pray for America, and to pray for the leaders in this nation, the senators, pray for the Congress, pray for the representatives, pray for the president, pray for those justices in the Supreme Court. They will make good decisions, because, you know, at the end of the day, they have to make decisions, you know, and decisions that could really affect the nation. You see, I think about 50 years from now. So, what's happening in the Supreme Court is a direct display of what we call spiritual warfare in front of your eyes, playing out on television for the last few days. You've been watching people protesting with the passion, walking the hallway of the senators, bomb rushing them in elevators. I mean, this country has freedom of speech, so people have been going around and expressing themselves. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself a question: what is behind this protest? What's behind the going back and forth? It's the battle of opinion, number one. Number two, influence and control. And you have to think about 50 years from now. So if somebody goes to the Supreme Court and going to be a decision maker that could affect the nation 50 years or 70 years or 100 years, God will set up a window of opportunity for the right decision to make and for the people to discern. You see, the departure of Elijah was so unique because he told Elisha, if you see me go, you get the double portion. So this nation doesn't have experience hurricanes and earthquakes to awaken, to see the opportunity to really walk through the door that God is opening up for opportunity to redeem a nation from destruction. So as God's people, you can tell that the Lord is coming back soon and is giving the church in America opportunity to walk through the door and influence many years of decisions that are being made right now, positioning people inside the Supreme Court that are going to be influential in making good decisions. Now, let's look at the scripture. It says in verse 6, that, I'm going to read one more time. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I'll also reject you from being priest for me, because you're forgetting the law of your God. I'll also forget your children. Now, God has set principles that we're supposed to live by. So if those principles are neglected and rejected, then there will be consequences. If you're raising up children in this land, if you're raising up a family in this land, if you have if your parent, your minister, you have to battle wickedness that is trying to control and influence in a not godly way, in a way that is not godly. To take out and destroy the future of your children, or the future to be marred with darkness. You know, I was been doing some research, and in the scripture, and also when we look at the signs of the end time, how darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness to people, gross darkness. Some translations say that as gross darkness. So your safety is in pursuing God, seeking God, and praying for direction in each decision you make and counsel. So, righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach. So, when sin is glorified, when sin is given a purse, a good credit by human beings, consecrating what God has not consecrated, that is the sign of disaster. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God wants to save mankind, the nation perish. God wants to save all the people that are caught up in darkness, because his love is bigger than the wickedness. But what darkness does is to cover the eyes of the person they don't see, using offenses, division, strife, confusion, hatred, all the things that are being projected on the media today, and also in universities and colleges and schools, causing darkness to have a voice and access on people's minds to influence their decisions. So what are the children of light supposed to do? Because we are the light of this world. If you're a believer, you're supposed to shine the light. You don't stay quiet. Voice, speak the truth in love. Reach out to the lost. Share with them your faith. Let them get to know who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the Savior of mankind. And he wants to save souls. Now, you see nations collapsed. A nation can be born in one day, but a nation can collapse in one day. Look at Venezuela, for example. That nation has a powerful prophetic destiny. But now it is in disarray. And we see what's happening there right now. People are not having food, not having medication, not having the proper security system. That shows you how wicked the enemy is in trying to devastate nations, not only Venezuela. Look at what's happening in Somalia. Look at what's happening in Libya, Syria, how nations are really devastated. So the same way the enemy attacks those nations, he wants to attack this nation, America. But prayer, repentance, and making good decisions will manifest and demonstrate what the scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation, the sin is a reproach. So when people renounce idolatry and turn from the wicked ways, God will save a nation. Now, let's talk about the Baal's, the altar of Baal that was erected in New York, and now another one has been erected in Washington, D.C. Why are they erecting these towers? Of course, there's freedom of speech and there's freedom of worship. But if you turn to ancient Babylonian way of worship, which is involved in human sacrifice, child sacrifice, they offer children for sacrifice on altars. And so something that's going on, children being offered on altars through abortion being legalized in this nation. So all those babies that are being murdered through abortion, they're being offered as sacrifice to wickedness, to Baal, to the Queen of Heaven. And you understand very well that man may call it unwanted pregnancy, but that's a life being sacrificed. The Bible said, before you're formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So those are kind of things that you have to think about that could bring judgment to a nation if they are not put in check. And the other things that bring a nation to destruction, like I'll give examples. When you endorse Satanism at a level whereby it is being given prime time, it has consequences. So intercession, the gospel being preached, that God may save people that are the root cause of pushing these evil agendas, is what must be done. That's how believers must respond, as a voice, as a decision maker, as a light bearer, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up the banner of Jesus. So God's people must influence at each level. They must influence at different levels. They must influence at different levels. So God is calling the church to the place of strength, the place of stability, the place of authority, the place of influence. Now, let's look at what it says in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those that trust in him. Now, if you trust in God, your family can be set free from debt. If you trust in God, your family can be set free from strife, confusion. If you put your trust in God, God can cancel any witchcraft attack assigned against you through trust. How do you demonstrate your trust? You demonstrate your trust through worship, through obedience, through surrender. You demonstrate your trust through your character and your attitude towards God. Worship gives you the positive reflection in honoring God and loving Him. It's demonstrated through the way you approach God in worship and prayer, where you put your trust in Him and you don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways you acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Let's look at what the scripture says here. The Bible says, "Assuredly I said to you, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I said to you, that if two of you shall agree, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." God has given us that access. Those are called the keys of the kingdom. Those are realms that you can step into and exercise your God-given potential to influence and bring deliverance upon those that are in bondage. So that's why we're going to pray and set captives free from bondage that is manifesting at those levels in your life, in your finances, in your family. You have exercised the authority as a believer in dealing with these powers and uproot them from the position of influence and control and manipulation and intimidation. The devil wants to use intimidation to stop you from praying, to make you think that when you pray, your prayers cannot be heard. Wants to make you think that God is too busy to answer your prayer, or God is preoccupied with other people's problems, that He doesn't have time to deal with your problem. The devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. And for this purpose, God's Son was made manifest, that the works of the devil might be destroyed. As a believer, you have a decision to make. Are you going to pray, or are you just going to sit back and let the devil take advantage of you? So, scripture says, if two of you shall agree, so the power of agreement, when you pray, you can stand in agreement and see God's shift. If two of you shall agree, or ask, concerning anything, concerning your finances, concerning your child being delivered off drugs, concerning your marriage, concerning your business, concerning your ministry, concerning this nation being open to the move of the Holy Spirit, God will do it. That the revelation behind prayer, it has to do with your attitude, perception, and stepping into the realm in the spirit through prayer, declaration, prophetic intercession, kingdom ethics, domineering, and releasing people's destiny. Now you understand that the enemy wants to use manipulation, indecision, bad decision, procrastination, delay, to influence you into quitting, giving up on the fight. The Bible says that he that endures till the end shall be saved. So, number two, the Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. God, in His sovereignty and power, has instructed every child of God to become effective in their way of hearing the word and acting on it. What must we do as God's children? We must be willing to step into the power of decision, making good decisions. So stop doubting and begin to make good decisions that will influence generations, that will influence nation. God is calling you to a place of perception, the place of authority, the place of breakthrough. So as a believer, now if you're not a believer, you can give your life to Jesus, but you're gonna have to make decisions. The decision starts with you knowing that the kingdom of God is a life changer. The kingdom of God, when we pray for the signal of crusades, I have crusades coming up. I'm gonna be in Anderson on the 25th. I'm gonna be in Augusta on the 26th and 27th of October. So these are gonna be powerful crusades. Bring the sick, bring the oppressed, God is gonna attack them, then deliver them, I'm gonna set them free. When we pray for the sick, that's the kingdom of God coming. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God coming. It's a decision you make. When you come to this crusade, you receive your miracle, you receive your deliverance. We step into the realm and we see the manifestation of God's kingdom. So this has to do with your decision you make. So the enemy wants to attack you at the decision making, to lack wisdom, to lack the resolve and the willingness to step into that which God wants to step into so he can bless you. The blessings of God make rich and he adds no sorrow. Now, let's look at what the scripture says in Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says, as we studied, it says here, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root out of the dry ground, and he has no form of comeliness. And we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, if you backtrack to verse 1, who has believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revelation knowledge in prayer, revelation knowledge in ministry, in intercession, in raising up your family, in being a decision maker. You need revelation. Once God gives you revelation, you're going to make better decisions. The enemy wants to attack you that you don't have revelation. You're blindly following God. I say billions of believers follow Christ blindly. If you're the light, you can't be blind. Your spiritual eyes must be open. God opens your eyes to see and to hear and to perceive in the spirit so you can be able to have influence. The decisions you make gotta be influenced by revelation knowledge. Very important for you to make revelation. When you have that revelation knowledge, it's gonna be able to empower you into winning the battles you're dealing with in the spirit. Now, if you make those decisions and step into battle and face the enemy at a level of conflict, you have the advantage. Because you have revelation. It says here, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The battle you're facing, you need revelation to win that battle. The battle you're facing, you need revelation to overcome. In prayer, in intercession, God has to reveal to you how to pray and how to deal with these powers. Now, as they attack you, as they try to take advantage of your lack of revelation, ask God to reveal to you what's the root cause of this commotion that I'm going through in my finances. What's the root cause of the attack I'm dealing with? in my ministry. What's the root cause? Where's the open door? God's going to give you revelation. But when you believe God, then you tune to hear in prayer. Now, not every time God speaks with an audible voice. He speaks by spirit in a still small voice. And God will give you a dream. The many ways God communicates, it has to do with the way you interpret it. So God doesn't speak outside the scripture. When God speaks to you, he gives you scripture for reference. Scripture is used as reference to interpret or to reaffirm what God is speaking. So he's going to give you interpretation. Now, when you look at verse 5, he was wounded for transgressions. That's Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for transgression. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. God will heal you by his stripes. We are healed. Now, if you have a revelation of what the stripes of Jesus are, what the enemy intends to bring against you, the Lord took it. So before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Lord really healed you. God took the pain. He took the stripes, the punishment, the penalty of what you're struggling with. He took it upon him. Jesus took it upon him when he was on earth here. He suffered for your sake, not just for the sin, but also for the infirmities and sickness and disease thousands of years ago. That when you walk in this life, you will not be hindered by those infirmities and poverty and lack. But you have to believe it, and then you have to access it, walk in it. And that's what the enemy doesn't want you to believe, by attacking your perception, interpretation of scripture. And I've heard people teach and say, God doesn't heal today. He doesn't do miracles today. And some of you have been defiled by those teachings. But I want to pray for you right now before I run out of time. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus in your heart. And you have to change your theology and your understanding of the scripture when it comes to miracles, deliverance, and healing. This is your right. Now, if you don't know Jesus in your heart, simply say after me, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin, renounce my iniquity. Come into my heart and save me. Remove my name from the book of death. Write my name in the book of life. I accept you in my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I am born again. Thank you for removing my name from the book of death and writing my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you receive Jesus in your heart, you are born again. I'm going to pray for those that are sick and are depressed and discouraged. Lord, for all that can hear the sound of my voice that are discouraged, the sick, touch them, let them believe your word and be free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, thanks for joining us today and tuning into this broadcast. I come to you every Saturday at the same time. And also, I want to encourage you to go to our website, www.prayerevangelist.net. You can call the prayer line 561-337-9018. I also encourage you to watch our TV show every Sunday at 5 o'clock on Channel 13 and Channel 61. And you can also go to our website and submit your prayer request. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or like us on Twitter and Facebook. And may the good Lord bless you and keep you strong. And I'll be back next week to bring you more exciting programming. This is Apostle Sally with Piercing Darkness Show. And God bless you. And thanks for joining us. This has been an exciting day. And I'll see you again next week. Keep the faith. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today's broadcast, brought to you by Power Evangelism Ministries, Piercing Darkness, with your host, Apostle Ronald Solly. For more information about Apostle Ronald Solly or our ministry, like him on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, or watch his live feeds on Periscope, or go to our website, powerevangelism.net, or call us 561-337-9018. Thank you for tuning in, and don't miss